Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Okay, so we're going to talk about biblical knowledge versus biblical ethics. And I'm going to start in Colossians in chapter 1 from verse 9. It says, Paul the Apostle is writing by the Holy Spirit. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord." You know, being filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and spiritual understanding is like, it's like getting through high school. That's like getting through high school. You haven't gotten a job yet, but you've spent the last 13 years educating yourself with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual understanding for the purpose that, I just put that in there, he says that in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, for the purpose that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So you are going to graduate school. You are moving forward to graduate school. There's more of the knowledge of God. If you think that you got out of God high school, and that's where your knowledge, the gathering of your knowledge ends, that's just not true. There's graduate school. You know, and then there are multiple degrees, and there is learning throughout our lives, because the God who created the heavens and the earth, who can know him in his fullness, who can know everything about the God who created the heavens and the earth. And we don't even know that much about ourselves. You know, we don't even know that what drives us. You know, terrible visions sort of in my mind, so that sometimes that there are, like, if we were to look at the pot of our soul, our inner man, that there would be good things that God has done, but there'd be occasionally a Loch Ness monster or a serpent, you know, that would sort of be in the mix. And that's just not meant to be an indictment. That's just a human truth. It's a human truth because of the curse of sin that's come upon humanity. And that's why Paul speaks of this increasing knowledge of God. Paul speaks of this increasing coming into compliance, learning the things of God, being perfected in the wisdom of God, that we may walk worthy, right? That's the point, right? That we may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's a very common thing to say we're not saved by works. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the blood that was shed on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved, right? But the implication is that good works follow. Good works follow. Good works, they spring out of you. Your desire to do good works spring out of you. Your desire to be involved in the help of other people, in the connectedness of God's church, all of those kind of things, they naturally spring out of you. So it says that we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. You know, these are things that the apostle is teaching the church. These are ethical matters. These are not really moral matters. They're really ethical matters. That you can walk with all patience and long-suffering, that's ethics. That's ethics. That you're not a person who flies off the handle every time, you know, something happens. And all right, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that, you know, ultimately, that's what we have. The gift that we have is like Jacob said, you know, you get filled with this passion that makes you want other people to connect as well. You know, it matters so deeply that people know about Jesus. It says in the Bible, how will they know unless someone is sent? How do our neighbors know unless someone is sent? This gospel is a understandable message. It's happened in time that Jesus Christ died on a cross. That's the message. The message that he's died on the cross and he shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. But now that we've become part of the inheritance of God, we have an inheritance in God's kingdom. Now there are expectations upon us, not because we're under the law, but because we want to desperately, because now we're part of a different family. Capisce? All right. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Your transformation comes through the renewing of your mind. How does the renewing of your mind happen? Well, first of all, you read your Bible. Start with Jesus. Don't start in the beginning of the book because it's just going to confuse you. We actually stand. This is Jesus. We stand at Jesus and we look back into the Old Testament. But we know about Jesus first. And then we stand at Jesus and we look forward through the New Testament, knowing that it's all, the whole book from the first chapter, from the first verse of the first chapter is about Jesus. And it has to be read that way and it has to be interpreted that way. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil. These are ethics, okay? Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't pretend like you love somebody when you don't love them. Don't pretend like you're somebody's best buddy when you don't love them. Don't do that. I'm not saying you should be mean to them. I'm saying you should actually love them, right? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, given preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. That's ethics, folks. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. It's one thing to be being something. It's another thing to take that to the next step and to be doing that from your inner man. From your inner man. Feeling the delight of the Lord. With the guy's Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus goes through this whole thing and tells her, prophesies to her, and his disciples come back and say, Lord, come on, here, we're eating, it's the supper time, here, have something to eat. He says, I got food you don't even know about. He says, my food is to do my Father's will. I get more satisfaction out of doing my Father's will. I get more satisfaction out of doing my Father's will than Thanksgiving dinner. And that's a tough sell to me right there. But you understand that you come to the place that it's your pure delight to do your Father's will. Your pure delight to be obedient. And so obedience is better than sacrifice. So he's going to give you a desire of what you want to become in him. And then he'll fulfill it. You think you're chasing him. He's chasing you because he's been catching you before you ever caught him. And then verse 14, you want to go a little deeper with your ethics? Bless those who persecute you. No, you can't really mean that. That can't really be serious. I know I've read it probably 100 times. I've read that, but that really can't be. I mean, this person's persecuting me. They hurt me. You know, they're suing me. They're unjust. They're terrible neighbors. They throw their garbage on my property. I'm supposed to bless them? That guy hit my car in the parking lot and kept driving. I'm supposed to bless him? I'm not supposed to run him down? Bless those who persecute you. What the heck? What the heck? Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That means something good happens. You know, somebody just got some real kind of fancy uppity car or something like that, you know? You know, in my life, I have driven every hunk of junk that has been on the road. You know, if you touch the tire, you pricked your finger on the band that was coming through. They were baloney skin tires. And then you trade them off for used, less baloney skin tires. And the muffler was broken in, and you get that tape stuff and wrap your muffler up in it, and that would last maybe a day sometimes, you know? And me and Nancy, and this was before seatbelt laws and stuff, me and Nancy and five kids in a little Dodge Omni, which was like a little roller skate. It was like maybe a little bit bigger than a smart car, you know what I mean? But we'd all jam into that car, and it would look like a clown car when we got to the mall. You know, people kept coming out. Right? I had on the back of the car this sticker says, Jesus is my best friend because I'm going to be brave for the Lord and I'm going to put a sticker on there. And I was down at the country store and I was parked down at the country store and I think Nancy was in the store for something. Me and the kids were in the car and bunch of teenagers come walking along the street. I hear, Jesus is my best friend. And everybody goes, ha, 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 ha. You know? And listen, I'm a grown-up man, and I want to climb under the dashboard. You know? But gosh, it's fun. Gosh, it's fun to be a Christian, to be a genuine Christian. All right, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, sometimes we have a culture that avoids like funerals and what do they call them? Wakes. You know, a lot of people really just look for excuses to avoid those things. No, go to those things. Let those people know that there's someone out there who cares. All you have to say is, I'm sorry for your loss. That's all you have to say. You don't have to have any big speech memorized. You just say, I'm so sorry for your loss. You know? And it's a right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's not easy, but it's the right thing to do. It's the adult thing to do. It's ethics. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, if you're going to become what God wants us to become, you're going to spend probably a month on both of those lines. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. It means that, you know, the high things are the wealthy, you know, not just the wealthy, the people who have it all or whatever. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Associate with the humble. Associate with the humble. Associate with the humble. Because some of you, and I won't tell on you, some of you were the people that we associated with who have now become mighty children of God. But nobody said to you back when, you're the humble that we're associating with, so that you can become the mighty children of God. Because if you listen to God's word, he does make you know that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people called to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but have now obtained mercy. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That speaks for itself, but that's important. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. A guy comes after you with a hatchet, you probably can't be at peace with that guy. You know, he probably ought to run or duck or shoot or something. I don't know what. But as much as it's up to you, because there are people in the world who will pick fights with you for whatever reason. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the people who are rotten in your life, you do good things to them, it confounds them, and you overcome evil with good. Okay, Christian ethics teaches us how to live what is right and wrong behavior and our attitudes. There is a poison inside our soul. I'm going to move like a freight train here now. There is poison inside our souls. We may act right, but it doesn't mean we think right. Our temper, our anger, our lust, our envy, our sarcasm, our belittling of people, our inner competition against people, our drunkenness, resentment of authority. Christian ethics teaches what the recipe is to heal all of those things. First of all, know your Bible. Second of all, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Third of all, connect yourself with a great church like ours. Fourth, follow trustworthy, righteous leaders. Not the guy who's got all the baubles and bangles and spangles, but somebody who sometimes will say something that you'll feel and you'll go, ouch. You should have said that, ouch. That's the kind of guy you want. Every once in a while, he should do that. Hopefully not all the time. Because there's nothing better than Jesus. Let me see. The Bible, the Holy Spirit, our church, our leaders, our deep scriptural meditation. The scriptural meditation, Eastern-type meditation is the emptying of your mind. We do not do any such thing in Christianity. Our meditation is quiet time where we are thinking on the things of God. We are meditating on his scripture. That's when the scripture will begin to open up. It's like the scripture is like a seed buried in the soil, and the acid of your thinking and your meditation breaks down the outer husk of that seed so that seed can open up and begin to grow inside of you. And that seed becomes something of your character. It becomes the genuine you and replaces the ugly you. And our own born-again spirit teaches us about the acts and attitudes and personal character traits receive God's approval, and which character traits do not receive God's approval. This is the process of change, repentance, and renewal of purity. David said in a psalm, "Lord, restore and renew in me a pure heart. Renew in me a pure heart." Right? The poison must be exorcised from inside of our hearts. The poison must be exorcised. And the cleansing, that exorcism, if you will, I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about getting the poison out of your heart. It happens through the practice of these disciplines. The Holy Word, God's Holy Word, is fermented. It's vintage. It's the water of Word that's transitioned like in Cana of Galilee into wine. In short, Christian ethics teaches us how to live. It's important to grow in biblical ethics so we can better know God's will, so that each day we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. I'm going to tell you this. Imagine this, that the guy who gets the biggest trophy in heaven is the guy you least expect. The guy who gets the biggest trophy in heaven, the guy who gets the biggest accolades, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," is the guy that nobody expected to be that guy, but was that guy who was quietly applying himself to God's word to better himself, not for the sake of being a perfected creature, but being for the sake of being able to serve God in a better, more pure way. Because that person, number one, is not going to talk much. So, number two, the ultimate template for Christian ethics is the moral character of God. Skipping ahead. Number three, Christian ethics is based on the Bible. Obviously, we know that. But it's not anybody's just, it's not your arbitrary insight on the Bible. The Bible is of no private interpretation, no personal interpretation. That God gave you something that theologians for 2,000 years have never seen, but you've got it, and now you've got to tell the whole world, and you're building your own, you know, your own company around this particular scriptural, quote-unquote, revelation, right? The main truth is the plain truth, and the plain truth is the main truth. Good is good, and bad is bad, and it doesn't matter what our society is saying, it doesn't matter what our government is saying, it doesn't matter what our neighbor is saying, it doesn't even matter what our parents are saying. The truth is God's word, and God's word is truth. And I'll read this. Christian ethics is essential to the proclamation of the gospel. Some Christian speakers today downplay or omit any call for unbelievers to repent from their sins. They don't even do repentance. They say, just accept Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. But evangelism in the New Testament is clearly included a call to repentance. Just before he returned back up to his heavens, Jesus told his disciples that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. So what are we called to do? We're called to speak for God's morality. to speak for God's ethics, to speak for God's word in a world that's turned upside down. Similarly, Paul proclaimed the need for repentance to pagan Greek philosophers in Athens and warning them that the final judgment was coming. He said, "The times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given an assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Right? That's why when I get to heaven, my word is going to be, when the Father says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" I'm going to say, "I'm with him." That's all I'm going to say. I'm with him. With him up there, the cross guy. I'm with him. Because that's where our salvation comes from, our faith in Jesus. Amen? Although we are justified by faith in Christ alone and not by works, extensive New Testament teachings about living and Christian life show us that our day-by-day obedience is, as justified Christians, is an important part of the Christian life. Understanding obedience correctly requires that we avoid the opposite errors of legalism and antinomianism. Number 6, you should look this up. Obeying God brings numerous blessings to your daily life. The joy of deeper fellowship with God, the joy of pleasing God, the joy of becoming a vessel for his honorable use, the joy of being an effective witness to unbelievers, the joy of increased answers to our prayers, the joy of a closer fellowship with other Christians, the joy of a clear conscience, and many other blessings that come as a believer in Jesus. Number 7, willful sin brings consequences to our daily lives. It speaks for itself. So, in closing, Christian ethics is not concerned only with right and wrong actions. We are complex people, and life itself is complex. Therefore, in studying Christian ethics, God wants us to consider not only the action itself, but the attitudes in the action and the person's motives for the action and the results of the action. You know, good actions result in good fruit. You know, and whether it takes you a year or 30 years, we don't give up. We're in a battle. We're in the battle for the souls of men. We're in the battle for the conquest, you know, of Jesus Christ as Lord. And whatever small or large part we have in that, we need to be about the Father's business. And if we're about the Father's business, I'm going to tell you something, blessing will come to you. God is not afraid to bless you. God is not afraid to give you a better car. God is not afraid to allow you to have a job where you make more money. You know, God cares about you. It says that the bird, the sparrow, falls from the tree, and God knows about that, and every single hair on your head is counted. You don't think God cares that you don't have enough or that you're stuck in a bad relationship or some other tragic thing is happening to you, sickness to your body, you know, sickness to your family, a family that's at war with each other. Those are such hard things to live with. God cares. God will redeem. God will remedy. Amen?
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today. And maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible, start a prayer life as well, and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.